And Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I trust you've been encouraged and strengthened as you've taken the doctrine and the study into God's Word this morning and applied it to your heart and life. I was always impressed and enjoy the song, I Am Resolved, because it's always a commitment that we make. Resolved, we're set and we're going a direction and we're not going to change. We make that commitment. And I'm thankful that we can sing that song. We can make those commitments, that we're resolved to serve God, resolved to serve God faithfully. And I trust that that is our testimony as we go through life. I'd maybe make one more announcement as I think of starting this message here this morning. I'd like to also ask a prayer request for something I've never done before, and that is next Sunday I'm planning on having a morning, afternoon, and evening service that I have to preach at Moomallsburg. And I am looking forward to it, but there is, I feel the weight of that. When a minister thinks a lot about what he has to preach for three messages in a row on one day, there's a lot of preparing that has to go into that to be ready to pick up another set of notes and to go into the next message. And I was listening sometime in the past to Brother Dwayne as he was faced with a similar situation, and he gave the congregation, his home congregation, a pre-run of something, and he said, well, sometimes for a minister, sometimes they need to hear themselves just talk, and maybe it'll help bring some clarity to their own thoughts. And I feel a little bit of that this morning, because you are going to get a pre-run of my Sunday morning message there, and I make no apologies for it. I've strived to pull it together, I've strived to bring it to where I want to be with it, but I'm not guaranteeing that I'm there. And if you find anything through the message you can challenge me on, feel free to do it. I want to be open to that. So the Sunday morning message there is, the title is Purposes and Objectives to be Achieved. And I'm going to write that up here. Sorry about my writing, you will have to hopefully read through it. As I pondered this message, and my first thought is, if you go do any searching for purposes and objectives, you soon get, and I don't know where the brethren there at Moomallsburg came to this title, but you soon get this thing of what people do in business life. And that's one reason why I decided to use the board this morning. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to this morning. It's going to be very elementary, but I want to use a board just because if you go to any business meetings or anything, they oftentimes use a board, and they put their things up there as this is what we're proposing. This is what we're working towards. This is our goal. And this is what we're going to do to get to that goal. And so this morning's message has a lot of that in that. Purpose is a long-term, meaningful goal that has a purpose. There's something you're working towards, you're heading for it. The reason for which something is done or created, it's a purpose. There's something there, there's something worth going for. Objective is a short-term goal. Is oftentimes referred to as more of a short-term goal. It is easily achievable, or it should be. It's a specific goal. It's something that when you get there, you can look at it and you say, we've reached this part of it. We're still heading to this purpose up here, what we're heading for, but we've made this objective. So our title that they handed to me suggests that there's some long-term goals and there's some short-term goals to reach the long-term goals. And so we want to look at that here this morning. Think with me this morning, what is man's purpose for being here on this earth? Is it just to have a party? Is it just to make a name for myself? Is it just to see a game to see how much money I can lay up for myself? Is it to see how much we can live the American dream and the easy life? You can go back to Genesis, and I don't know if we're going to read anything about it, but I just want to pull your minds back to Genesis. Why was man created? Man was created, why? Well, we know the account. Man was created to fellowship with God and to worship and honor God. God was looking for someone to fellowship with. It wasn't just to have a party. It wasn't just to make a name for himself. Man's not here because he wanted to be just for himself. No, it was for God and to honor God. Well, we know that I trust that each one here this morning, the goal, the purpose that we are looking for, that we are looking at in life, is heaven. And so we want to place that up there somewhere with the title. I didn't put a spot for it because I don't know where. It's the whole focus of it is, if you have a business, you're trying to get the business. You would maybe put that up there, what you want to achieve. And so you could maybe put heaven up there. I didn't do it because I have something else I want to place there then. But there is, heaven is the ultimate goal of where we are reaching and working for. And there are things we must do to get there. At this point in the message, I want us to just think. There's only two destinies for man. It's either heaven or hell. We can try to reason around. Man tries to reason around that God in his love will never put anybody in hell. But we must not go there. We must realize that man makes choices by the purposes and objectives that he has achieved. Whether he has done what God wants him to do, as to whether he's going to get into heaven. So this morning, I want us to look at ourselves and our lives. Be crystal clear in your mind who you believe in, who you are serving. Look at what purposes and goals are in your life. Evaluate your actions and see if they line up with that goal of heaven. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And this is maybe my springboard that I have for the points that I have for the message. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So there we have man's, the goal, the objective, the purpose that we are looking for, and we need to reach objectives to get there. So, in this passage, we hear where it says, fear God and keep his commandments. Now, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to take the time to read verse 34 through 40. And this is a very familiar account. If I'd go in my notes, I preach from these passages already. But that's all right. I'll make no apologies for it again, because it's very foundational as we think of purposes and objectives to be achieved. Verse 34, Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he was had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we have these commandments. Remember in Ecclesiastes 12, he wrote there, Fear God and keep his commandments. So we have two laws here. And I'm going to put over here. Genuine love for God. Put a break here. Genuine love for man. For my neighbor, what I have. Let's do this. So this morning we're going to talk about purposes and objectives to be achieved. And what I'm going to share this morning fits all underneath those two headings. We find here in Matthew 22, it says, On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Everything is contained there. Matthew 19, we have another account as we think about these commands. And Matthew 19, verse 16, we have this young man that came to Jesus and he said much the same thing. He wanted eternal life. He wanted heaven. He wanted that goal. And Jesus said unto him, in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 19, he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And this young man said, I've kept them all. All these I've kept from my youth. And there's still something lacking in his life. And if you read that the list that Jesus gave to him in verse 18, he left these two out. Why? Because this young man loved something else other than God first. Purposes and objectives to be achieved. I have 3 points I want to put underneath there. And these are not all of them. I thought of some more. I couldn't get my thoughts to pull together on it. But these are the three I want to look at this morning. The first step that we need to make to reach the objective, and I talked about this some already, but we're going to look at this. Can't spell this morning. Put Christ as number one. Put Christ first. And I'm going to turn in these. I'm going to be jumping between Matthew. And I know it's kind of can be confusing. But if you are able to hold your hand in Matthew and turn back with me to Genesis. And Genesis chapter 13. We know this account. This is the account of Abraham and Lot. Abraham and Lot were living together. They were had their herds. They were dwelling in tents. And they were there came up strife because the herds got so big they needed to... There was some strife between the herdsmen as to, well, where they're going to graze their animals, I believe. And in chapter 13, we have Lot faced with a choice. And I'd like to maybe just read from chapter 13, verse 10 through 13. Let's just read those verses there. And Lot lifted up his eyes. He's faced with this decision of to where... Abraham told him, you choose first as to where you're going to go, where you're going to make the choice in life to move for feeding your cattle, to separate themselves. And Lot lifted up, in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. In this passage here, as we think about seeking and putting Christ first, Lot made the choice to move towards Sodom. He moved towards Sodom, that wicked city. Why? As you look at your... If you would have been in Lot's day and you looked at from a business standpoint, it seemed like the right move. Here's the well-watered plains. My animals will do well on it. There'll be plenty of grass. There'll be plenty of water. And there's everything I need for my cattle. And he chose it. Financially speaking, he made the correct choice. Spiritually speaking, he made a wrong choice. We know the account. In chapter 18, if we go over there, we have Abraham pleading with the two angels, with God, to spare Sodom. And as Lot has moved and pitched his tent towards Sodom, in between there, he became like the people of that city. He became so wrapped up into it, I don't believe he committed their sins, but he became attached to it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 19. We have this account of when the two angels came and Lot had brought him into his house, and these angels were trying to convince Lot to leave because the city's going to be destroyed. And in verse 15, chapter 19, verse 15, in the morning arose, the angels hasted Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. The angels are just begging him to move out of this. Get away, or you will get lost. Your life will perish. And verse 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. And they told him to go and flee to the hills. I don't know what Lot's attachment in the city was. I don't know about his cattle that he had had. I don't know whether he sold them and bought interest into Sodom. I don't know where that was. But I believe firmly that Lot lost everything. And if you read on, he lost even his wife. Why? Because there was an objective that he didn't keep firm. He didn't keep keep solid in it there. To seek and put Christ first before his decision. I believe he saw the wickedness of Sodom, but he felt strong enough to withstand it. Matthew 6:33 tells us this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. The riches of this world can be added later. But where's your focus in life? Is it a focus on the world or the focus on serving Christ? It's an objective that we need to hold. A focus on to seek Christ and put Christ first. Whether that is our Bible reading and prayer life, whether that is in our businesses, whether that's in many other areas of life, how we relate to other people even. Think of that rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19 that we touched in with already. What can come in between? What can hinder our objective of serving and purposes of life that will end us in failure? The second objective I have to help us to get to the purpose, which is heaven, is deny self. Deny self. Turn with me in your Bibles in Genesis there to chapter 11. Again, a very well-known account. The flood was done. The people were gathered together. They were still in a big group, and God had told them to spread out in the earth. And what happens here? Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. And they said, go to, let us build us a tower, a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And then the Lord pronounced that the language barrier there. I would like to pull from this account here. Let us make us a name. You see the self that came up? Let's make us a name. There's self there. And they wanted to stay together, and they didn't want to follow God's plan, and they lived for themselves. Now turn in your Bibles back to Matthew again. Matthew chapter 16. I'd like to read a New Testament passage of what it says here about self and denying self. Matthew chapter 16, I'd like to read from verse 21 to 28. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, for this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Deny self. There is this, if you're going to reach heaven, you must deny self. Deny self, verse 24, take up his cross, follow me. You can't enter heaven, you can't get to the purpose that is there without this objective to get there. You must deny self. Self is what appeals to the flesh. Deny the easy life. Realize that we are in a battleground for our soul. And deny ourselves and our pleasures and our wants, and realize that it matters what happens and where we go with I, myself. Because that works enmity with God and what He wants to bring into my life. It maybe ties pretty closely to the other one, seek and put Christ first, but it builds on it. And that is to just give up all of self. Let's go into the third one I have. I trust that we've made these steps and are making these steps to get to that purpose of where we're going. And there's this last one I have for this is forgive. Matthew 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking there on that mountain. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And if you would read back the verses prior to this, that is the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. And so we have this example or this teaching that was there that we must forgive men their trespasses. Because if you don't forgive men their trespasses, you're not going to be forgiven. And heaven is for those that have had their sins forgiven. Heaven is for those that have their sins washed away through their forgiveness that Jesus offers. And so it's an objective to reach heaven. You can't get there without forgiving your brother and sister. So this is an objective for us to do today. Forgive those about us today. And it may sometimes feel easier than others. It does in my life. I pondered in my own life about wishing how Jesus forgives my sins. He forgives them and He forgets them. He washes them clean. Why can't I extend that to those about me? Why do I keep remembering them? Well, we're in these human bodies. We do remember. Our minds still work. But we make a choice again. Are we going to bring it up again, or are we going to forgive? Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. I'd like to just pull, before I go back to read in Genesis chapter 4, I want to just read that familiar passage of in Matthew 18 as we think of forgiveness. And you don't have to turn to this. But when Peter asked the Lord, he said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. And Jesus told him, I say not to thee seven times, but till 70 times seven. There's just no end that we are commanded to forgive and to strive to forget the wrongs against us. Genesis chapter 4. And we have this account of where the first children, I believe, entered the world. And let's read, starting at verse 1 to verse 8. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Cain was faced with a choice. Verse 6, why are you upset? Why are you so angry? Why are you so wroth about this? I like to just think about it this way, that God is asking Cain, why are you blaming your problems on someone else? It's your choice to forgive. It's your choice to straighten out your offering. You can harbor bitterness. You can harbor unforgiveness against Abel and against my acceptance of Abel's offering. But you have made the choice as to where you're going to be at. If thou doest not well, wilt thou not also be accepted? It's a choice to reach the objective of forgiveness or not. Today we have people about us, and sometimes they can relationships is one of those things that can be a struggle sometimes. Maybe it's just me, but I believe it's in all human race. Relationships take work. Relationships can be a struggle. Are we willing to extend grace and the benefit of the doubt to those that have wronged us? Or are we going to bar ourselves from reaching our purpose of heaven? By our unforgiveness, it is a stepping stone for us to reach heaven. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will man give in exchange for his soul? Closing thoughts. You can turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. We're going to jump out of the Genesis and we're going to jump out of Matthew and go to an account in Galatians chapter 5. Again, very familiar passage, but I'd like for us to think about this morning. I didn't put it in with one of the points to go underneath there. But we're talking here about the Spirit-filled life. A life that's filled with the Spirit. And how can you know whether you have reached all the objectives? Here's a good passage for us to look at. Because if we've reached Him, if we're living for Christ, we have a Spirit-filled life. And this is what a Spirit-filled life is. Here it is when you achieve it. Verse 22, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying another, one another. There we have the Spirit-filled life. It's a love. And we could go down through each and every one of these. We're not going to take the time to do it. All these fruits of the Spirit. But love for God and love for our fellow brethren. When we have all that in place, that's a life it's going to produce. When we reach that point, the life it produces. May we be faithful in living a Spirit-filled life, a life that's filled with the Spirit that we can say, we're striving. We haven't reached there yet. We have objective of it. We have objective stepping stones to get to the purpose of living a Spirit-filled life to get to heaven. If you can follow that whole train of thought. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto their death. Brethren, that is arrived, that's achieved. It starts with us this morning. It starts with our lives today. Can we take the steps to get to heaven? There are stepping stones, things we must do to get to the goal. And may we be faithful in doing that. Let's kneel for prayer.